You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 5th, 2020, and is titled Birthright and is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis 25, and let's join Steve in the message.
So, Lord, I'm just asking you to be with everybody, anyone who's sick, who's having a hard time. We've got plenty of people, my sister and plenty more that need your touch, Lord. They need your help right at this very moment. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch them, bring healing to their bodies. And Lord, tonight I continue to pray over your people. That Psalms 91 prayer, Lord, a promise here again, our birthright, Lord, that we would remain under your wing in the shadow of the Almighty, that no pestilence will befall us. And Lord, I'm going to stand tonight over this nation, over this town, over this state, and over every kitchen table, every human in the sound of my voice represented in this room, that no weapon forged against us will prevail, even COVID-19. Lord, I pray that by your mighty hand, that virus be eradicated from the earth, but especially eradicated from your people, all to your glory in your name, Jesus. Lord, we've had enough. And so, Lord, we just stand here and pray tonight. We believe you, God, for miracles, signs, wonder, power, but most of all, truth and love. And so, Lord, speak your truth by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to be trickling around over here in Genesis 25, and we'll kind of skip around there a little bit and get to the point I want to get to. Any of you guys that pray for us on a regular basis, or if you start right now, that'd be great. But we're leaving for Laverne, Oklahoma tomorrow morning, and we'll be doing, I don't know, with three or four regular services planned, but we're going to be there for the whole time. So we're planning on starting on Thursday and finishing on Saturday, and then we're going to move on over to Woodward, Oklahoma on Sunday and be ministering over there, and then we'll come home and turn around and go back to Oklahoma next week for another 2 or 3 days. So some really good opportunities. So please keep that in your prayers if you would. Went to Abernathy last week. We spoke over there with some other guys. Had a real good time in the Lord. And right now the Lord is doing really good with this message of bringing truth to his church. And I just feel really led to give you a word, and I didn't plan on this, but I think this needs to get on record. I think it'll be an encouragement to the church. But Saturday over at Abernathy, I got up on that stage, and we had laughed about it going over. Robin asked me a time or two about what I was going to talk about. Of course, everybody kind of knows what I'm going to talk about. I've been on this vein for 5 years now, 4 years. So it's going to be something along those lines that the Spirit of God brings out. But I hadn't had very many times in the last few years where you just step up to the microphone and God just removes you from the scene and takes over. And that's what happened Saturday. And he didn't leave nothing out. And he didn't leave nothing left. They literally had to help me off the stage. There just wasn't nothing left. But it was kind of funny because while I'm preaching this one thing that I sure couldn't quote back to you verbatim, I'm hearing a whole nother thing. And I'm hearing it from the Lord. Hadn't said much about it. Told her, told another good friend that was there and kind of understands. But we need to be encouraged. And I know this. I believe this to be very true. When it doesn't come to fruition, you can tell me I was wrong. The world is set up for the ears of mankind. It's been coming up a lot lately. A 250-year benchmark for nations. That's the maximum longevity for nations is 250 years. This one's been in existence for 244. So by man's standard, now many of y'all know that we've been doing a lot of things, including church, by man's standards. We should be done. So I've thought a lot about that and prayed about it, but I know I heard from the Lord, I just believe that the other day, that we're at a threshold, the most peculiar time in the history of our country, the most peculiar opportunity for the American church to finally resume her position, come back to full fruition as representation of the kingdom of God. And we're at a time where it actually will go either way. If this country decides to turn the reins over to the axis of evil, godlessness, which is lawlessness, then we might be blessed to make it 248 years. I mean, we could be that short. If those of that godless mindset begin to take over and we come to a one world government, we come to a one UN operating law enforcement, all those kind of things that they've been projecting now for a long time while they want to defund our own law enforcement. Have you ever thought that actually could set the stage for the true Antichrist to step to the platform? They've got you down right now with COVID-19 to almost a buy and sell situation, whether you line up or you don't line up. So we're right on the brink of some things. But I believe with everything in me, I'll bet you every quarter I got that that's not how it goes. Because God's people and God's church is riding us up. We're finding our feet. We're finding some wind in our sail. And you're seeing it happen right before our eyes, that the church is slowly but surely coming to life and we're rising up. And so as we proceed into the truth of the things that have been prophesied for a long time, that this existing president will assume that office one more time without a 2-month break. See, no 2-month break. So on November the 4th, it's game on. We don't wait till January the 15th. It's game on. And so when that happens, here's what I believe the Lord was showing me the other day. As we move into that period of time and they pull the covers back on the depths of corruption and evil and deception that have plagued this country now for decades. Things that will make you want to go behind a barn and throw up, that you just won't even believe is humanly possible. That recognition of evil is going to rattle the chain of the church. And I believe that as we take this time right now to break down the walls of man-made religious institutions in this country, that those who are indwelt with the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, who are marked for the day of redemption, He's going to fan those flames of fire, and we'll see revival in this nation to a place that we reclaim our birthright and we reclaim our promise. That this fight has just begun to occupy our capital. This fight is going to continue to reclaim our nation, one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to prove the longevity of God's promise. You see, the nation of Israel has surpassed the 250-year mark by quite a bunch because they had a founding covenant with God. This country's had a founding covenant with God since 1620. That being said, because of God, because God be for us and not against us, that we don't live by man's standards, that we don't live by men's timelines, that we're not subject to the ideology of men because we live in covenant with God. And when this church, when we as the church in America rise up, rise up and say, listen, you're going to pray in our schools, and we're not asking, we're telling. You're going to take this book right here, and you people are going to start reading out of it, because that's the only thing that's going to bring order back to your classroom. It's the only thing that's going to put life back into the generations. It's the only thing that's going to make sense to anybody other than this silliness you've been carrying on now for a long time, government-run programs and teachers' unions and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I said it. They might be the ones writing you check, but I don't like them. So I'll just tell you. We're going to preach and pray from the courthouse steps, as in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we're bringing this country back to one nation under God. And we're going to do it under covenant through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see revival in our land, real kind of revival, like the kind they had in 1743, the Great Awakening, when God breathed fire into the bellies of men and the Black Robe Regiment stood up and preached the whole book and then walked outside and fought like men. Didn't sit around like girls, they fought like men. I've been to meetings for 2 months. I'm going to tell you, thank you, ladies, for being more manly than the men. And the men are going to rise up. And we're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel. We're going to walk in power. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to prophesy. And the next generation will finally stand a chance, because we putzed it up with the last one. We didn't tend to our business. And God may actually give us another chance. God may actually give us another chance. I believe it with all my heart. And I just wanted to say it tonight, that while I was up there preaching a message that I don't know how long it lasted, don't know what I said, at the same time I'm getting this little download and God is showing me some things. These guys were there. I got a little fired up, Saturday. Yeah. But I'm just telling you that for all the gloom and doom that's in the world, and all the ones, you know, there's a lot of people crying out Maranatha today. Maranatha simply means come, Lord Jesus. You better get you a real good glimpse of what that looks like before you pray that again. We better pray that God gives us a second chance with a generation that'll occupy this land. My buddy Leonard, he helped me out a lot tonight, because I'm going to show you a piece of scripture in a minute that's going to back my play in a big way. But I'm telling you what, we got this, and God's got this, and God's got us. We'll keep doing our part. God's going to do his part, and it's going to be okay. Please do not stand around wringing your hands because you've been listening to the voice of some ding-a-ling somewhere that seems to get a big audience. We're just a little audience. But I'm telling you, one or two people come together and pray in the name of Jesus, you don't even know what mountain moving looks like. And if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and you show me one news network that can stand up to 10,000 angels of God. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Yes, yes, ma'am. Amen. I think there's good news in all this now. I'm fired up. Yep. So let's get in our Bibles here in Genesis 25. Oh, one the other thing that'll happen in this that I left out that absolutely has to happen. I covered it last week. Roe versus Wade. I told y'all last week, told the whole world last week, you can stand around praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 all you want to. You can tape it on your refrigerator, your steering wheel, put it on your ball cap. I don't care where you put it. But until this country does it, you see the first three words of that scripture. If my people. If my people. You know what we do? We stand and go, if my God. If my God so chooses, if my God, he says, if my people, until this nation repents of the innocent bodies that are buried in our soil and have cursed the land where the blood of Abel cries out. So if you don't put the right man in the executive branch, you will not get the right people in the judicial branch. and Roe versus Wade carries on forever and we're done. Turn that around and prove to God one of these days, church, that you put your money where your mouth is. And that doesn't mean in this stinking collection plate someplace. We're going to have to participate in this, and we'll see revival in this land. And we'll see. I just believe it with all my heart. I'm so excited for it, I can't hardly wait for it to get here, but it'll be good. Now, Genesis 25, Abraham again took a wife. This was after Sarah died. Her name was Keturah, and she bore him some children. I'm not going to name them all because I'd have to rename them. And I'm going to skip around a little bit because it talks about that, you know, Abram is now taking him some other wives, and he starts having some more children. Y'all remember back a couple chapters ago when we talked about when God said that he is one and only child, Isaac. One and only child, Isaac. But he'd had Ishmael, and now he's going to have him a pile more of them. But that child of the promise, the child of the promise was the one that carried the birthright. The birthright is so important. I think we've lost something in this a little bit here in America. And he says, verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But he gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. And while he was still living, then he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. So he sends everyone, they all go to the east. And so then it goes on to talk about the sum of the years of Abraham's life. He lived 175 years. And then Abraham breathed his last, died at a good old age, full of years. When the Bible says you died full of years, it means you died a full life. You fulfilled your life. That's a good way to die, that you fulfilled your life. And he was gathered to his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael, they come together, they bury him. One little note I want you to see here for a minute is that here a time or two we've seen Isaac and Ishmael coexisting, doing their thing, kind of getting along, and it seems like a separation comes later on. And I think I know a little of how it is prophesied that away, that he was, you know, going to have his own nations and his own land and his own people, and he's going to be kind of wild and war against everybody. And when you go and look a little bit into the Quran and the Islamic faith, and they talk a lot about Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, and they believe that Muhammad was a descendant of Ishmael, and so out of that line. Now, I've done a little studying, and if you'll study all these children of the concubines, they scatter around and go everywhere, and they join up and with other tribes and dissipate or grow, and it's pretty interesting. But tonight, I wouldn't be able to glean enough out of it to get us anywhere. We got some other things we need to talk about. So then when Isaac was 40 years old, down in verse 20, he took Rebekah, his wife. We read about that the other day. And the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded, verse 21, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She was barren. But here's how the promise goes, that your children are going to be reckoned through the line of Isaac. It's the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that is the bloodline of the Lord. It's the bloodline all the way from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve and Seth and down through Noah and Shem and Ham. And then, you know, Shem comes down the line, the Shemites and the Jews. And then you go all the way through the lineage of David down to Joseph and Jesus. And it's a bloodline that carries a birthright. When you're a horse sale guy, you understand bloodlines. You know some of the descendants of a great horse named Doc Bar and different ones, and they're not even on the page anymore, but you know they come out of that bloodline. And so this blessed bloodline that has come from the beginning of time is carried out through Abraham, through his son Isaac, and then to Jacob. Now, there's some interesting things that we'll go over this week and some more probably next week about Jacob and how he attained that bloodline, how he attained his position in that bloodline. But nevertheless, there was a promise. There was a promise made in Genesis 12 to an old man standing outside a tent with an old lady inside cooking bacon. When an old man said, God, what can I do for you? Because you've left me childless. And he said, I'm going to give you as many as the stars, the sky, as much as the dirt. And he made him a promise. While Sarah's inside laughing. How's that going to happen? She's barren. She never had a kid. She's 90 years old, never had a kid. How's that going to happen? How's anything going to happen? It's all possible. The Bible says nothing's impossible with God. We just don't cry out to God. I'm going to tell you a story here in a minute where Hezekiah rolled over in his bed and bought him another 15 years. I don't know if we believe that anymore or not. Maybe we just believe for heaven and then we don't have to prove anything to anybody. That's a safe way to be a Christian. Let's just tell everybody about heaven and tell them all we're going there and make everybody believe it. And that's good enough. We don't know that much about Jesus. We don't know that much about the kingdom of God. So let's just make up a story about heaven. And we'll let that be the benchmark of our Christianity. Isaac knew better. There was a promise made to his father. His father promised him generations. God promised his father generations. And it was going to be through that one son who had received the birthright, who had received all the inheritance. And so he prayed to the same God his father prayed to. I want that to soak for just a minute because I just found what happened to our country. When did sons quit learning to pray from their father? And a hush fell over the crowd. He says, he prayed, and his wife conceived. And so, verse 22, but the children struggled together. She got two of them in there, multiple. She said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went in to inquire of the Lord. You know, God, we prayed and you made me pregnant. Now I'm miserable, man. I got this big old belly sticking out here and whatever's going inside there, they kicking like an old mule. This ain't near as much fun as I thought it was going to be. God, I've been begging for it and now I got it. Oh, that'll preach. I've been begging for it, God, now I got it. It's not near as much fun as I thought it was. See, the concubines was getting in fold and spitting them out like a herd of cows over here. Without any generational integrity whatsoever, without any generational responsibility, without any generational promise. You see, they're just having kids, raising kids, going on their merry little way without an actual birthright, without an actual purpose, without an actual divine plan of God. They're just out here having babies and doing their thing. But over here, this pregnancy is a little different. This one might be a little more difficult. And guess what? Living in this bloodline right here is still difficult today. It isn't easy. That's why we wanted the other bloodline. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. But in this bloodline, it's a little more difficult. Well, I'm not a descendant of Abraham. Shoot, you should get born again then. It's what the Bible says. When you're born again, now you've become an engrafted branch. Now you've become a descendant of Abraham. Now you've become a child of the promise. And so these two kids in here, And then, you know, she ends up having heck anyhow. They don't ever really get along. She should have known during this pregnancy, she should have got them separate bedrooms or maybe separate houses, maybe put them in separate towns. Any of y'all got more than one kid? Anybody ever had some of that going on a little bit? Or maybe with your own siblings? She said, Lord, why am I like this?
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Birthright. And as always, we invite you to come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.